This is 2013 with Richard Kingsmill on Triple J.
On Triple J, the still very much loved Home from Edward Sharp and the Magnetic Zeros did incredibly well in the Hottest 100 in 2009. The American group came on the scene in 2007 and their debut album, Up From Below, was a worldwide hit, largely thanks to how many people loved that track from the album. Their third album has just been released. Edward Sharp and the Magnetic Zeros have put out a self-titled third album. Alex Ebert is the main guy behind Edward Sharp, and I got the chance a couple of weeks ago, actually, of having a chat to him about this brand new album. We also spoke about the critics, and we spoke about the influence of John Lennon on his music and also his life. But before we get to those, I actually was flicking through the artwork of the new album from Edward Sharp and the Magnetic Zeros, and I came across a whole bunch of photos, one of which was Alex holding a baby, and curiosity got the better of me. I wanted to know whether it was his baby or not.
Yeah, that is not a prop. That is my baby. I think that was within the first 2 weeks that she was born, because that shot was taken in New Orleans. So, yeah, she's just over 11 months. She'll be a year in August.
Wow, she looks pretty big for a two-week-old.
She might have put on some pounds rather quickly. She loves milk.
What's her name, if you don't mind me asking?
Eartha, like the earth with an R.
Like Eartha Kitt.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. Is Eartha Kitt the inspiration?
You know, I think in a way she is. Well, my girlfriend just kind of came up with it, but of course instantly I thought of Eartha Kitt. Yeah, it's kind of a jazzy name to me.
How's it been the last year? Has it sort of changed you much as an individual?
Oh my God, yes, entirely. In ways that are very obviously sort of difficult to describe, but just sort of has changed everything, and also in sort of obvious ways, like we're touring together now. I bought a little sort of dilapidated RV, and we follow the buses, and yeah, and I mean, it sort of deprofessionalizes the whole thing, which is really nice. And our drummer also has a kid who just turned one, and so it's a spectacular time. The band sort of consensus is that we miss when they're not here, because they sort of put everything into perspective as a baby would naturally do. So it's a very welcome thing.
And what about the whole process of becoming a father as well and now having a child on the songwriting, on this record? Has it been a direct influence?
Most of the songs were written before, but I think with knowledge that this was coming, the last song on the album, which is called This Life, I wrote it far before I knew I was going to have a child, but it was really sort of just about exactly this.
Let's talk about the making of this record too, because I've always been intrigued about how the creative process works for Edward Sharp and the Magnetic Zeros, because the idea I get is that you might come up with a very simple idea somewhere else, but basically it's in a room full of people and full of the band members where this stuff is actually really created. I can't really hear a lot of this stuff you banging away in your bedroom and coming up with all the elements. Is that how it's born? Is it sort of like based around a communal party experience?
Well, it's interesting that you say that. The first album I actually did write and wrote most of the parts for, including the horns, which I would play with a kazoo, and the organs and the background vocals even. I would sort of had this vision of these songs that, you know, had these parts for all these people. There's a story that my mom showed me just a couple months ago that I had written when I was six, and it's in sort of a six-year-old's handwriting, and it starts with, "Once there was a boy who had a crew, And to me, I just started laughing and almost started crying in some ways because I realized that all my life, that's sort of all I've ever wanted. And I guess I started writing songs that would beg the presence of 12 people in some ways. But now as we've become a band, it's becoming more and more like what you're talking about, where we will be in a room together and writing and collaborating more. And when Edward Sharp and the Magnetic Zeros formed, and we took our first tour, which was right after I bought a bus, and I don't know if you know this, but Heath Ledger was going to put out our first album. I don't know if you're aware of that, but, you know, things were kind of rickety after he died, and I was just like, you know, I just went on Craigslist and bought a bus, and we gutted it, and we got a driver, and we all piled in the whole thing, like 20 of us, and we just took a trip to Texas. It was just this amazing sort of revelation.
And it's a nice thing in this day and age because not many bands are kind of doing this sort of thing.
Yeah, you know, you'd think from some of the critiques of us that everyone was doing it and as if we were doing something that was super commercial, but in fact, it's very rare. I mean, I actually couldn't really name you any.
It's interesting. You just touched on something there, which I have noted pretty much since the beginning of this band, is that there has been a level of cynicism from various music writers towards this whole entity, which is Edward Sharp and the Magnetic Zeros. But it sounds like a very pure process. Does the cynicism make you angry?
It's a bit frustrating at times, eventually, you know, because for no reason other than it could stop someone who doesn't know us from having an open mind while experiencing us. And usually the reasoning is that I was in a band previous called I'm a Robot, you know, in which I was sort of an obnoxious character who sort of dressed in women's clothing and snarled. And I guess it's just too much for some people to admit that, you know, through life people change. And there's plenty of, you know, famous examples that we can point to, you know, the major pop acts in the world and even someone as great as Bowie or something like this. And then yet with us, because it's not overtly staged, we get sort of like ripped down as if there's something that critics think they're actually going to reveal to people. I mean, most of the reviews actually read like a warning to the public. So it's sort of an interesting predicament.
And also a couple of comments that I see kind of coming up is that comparison to the first record and like the big hit off the record Home, people sort of saying, oh, they're never gonna better that track, which I kind of think is, one, unfair, and two, might be hypocritical on their part because they were probably putting the boot into you back then as well.
Oh, of course they were. I will say, and this is not me being cocky, I could quite easily contrive a song that would be the follow-up to Home, number 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. I mean, I could make a whole damn album of songs that have four on the floor kicks and catchy melodies, and Jade and I are singing back and forth. Me trying to be get on the radio or writing a song for someone else or trying to please people is one of the worst things you can do as an artist. And so it's with some intention that there is no follow-up to Home. It's not like I've tried and failed. It's that I'm intentionally not doing that so that I can continue to broaden the horizons and don't ever feel stuck. That's all.
That's Alex Ebert, who is the frontman for Edward Sharp and the Magnetic Zeros. We're going to speak about the influence of John Lennon on him in just a moment, and we're also going to speak to him about the influence of the main track from the album, Better Days, which you've been loving. We've been playing it a fair bit the last few weeks on Triple J. Where did he get the idea for Better Days, and who did he write it for? We'll find out in just a moment after this track from their brand new album.
Let's get high! Thank you.
I just want to quickly talk to you about John Lennon. I don't think I've actually ever spoken to you about the possible influence of Lennon on you as a person, but I do once again hear the ghost of Lennon in a little bit of the phrasing and the way you sing on some of these songs, and a little bit of that sort of, you know, the instant karma era of Lennon, and that sense of idealism that he has, and I think that you have as well. Has he been a big part in your musical makeup?
Just the mention of his name, you know, made me sort of emotional. I feel very connected to his defiance. I feel part and parcel of that same defiance. When you decide to speak openly about things like love and peace, you know that you are opening yourself up to criticism, and particularly from people that consider themselves intelligent. And you know that you're going to be called just sort of stupid, basically, for believing in something that is sort of so on its face, just sort of childish. I don't know. For me, John Lennon, you know, I wish he was around, that's all.
Even though he hasn't been around since 1980, his presence is still so strong in the way people think, and in more ways than just music. Listen, Alex Ebert from Edward Sharp and the Magnetic Zeros, great to speak to you again. As I said, I want to talk to you quickly about Better Days. It's such a terrific song, and already Triple J listeners have just connected to the sentiment of the song, and I'm really curious to find out what, or in fact maybe who, inspired the writing of it. Can you tell us anything?
Yeah, actually, it was a member in the band. I won't name names, but it was going through a really hard time. And a lot of times I want to just sort of say that, well, it can be better right now. And today is, you know, won't be better tomorrow. It'll be better today, right now. And we can do it now. And this sort of nowism. But things take time. And so this was really just a look to the future and a nod to the future to try and keep our head up and know that things pass.
And tell me, for that band member writing the song, do you think it helped?
I think in some ways it may have, in the sense that that he knew that I was thinking about him.
I seen better days dripping down your face. We don't have to talk, let's dance. But I don't need